The podcast with Dr. Jim Keeney at www.jim.md.
This is Dr. Jim Keeney. Welcome. Today, we are going to talk about adult immunizations. You know, we're always talking about kid immunizations and should we do them? Do they cause autism? You know, on and on and on. You know, honestly, I am a little tired of that debate, although, you know, I understand why parents are so concerned. Obviously, I'm a parent of three young kids, and I just want to protect my kids and don't want to expose them to anything that could be dangerous. And unfortunately, when you combine fear with a lack of all the facts, which are hard to get, I admit, then you're going to end up with these kind of unreasonable fears, in my opinion. But anyway, we'll put that aside. Now that I've tuned out all the families who don't believe in immunizations for their kids because they're angry from what I just said, let's talk about adults, okay? Nobody talks about those. You forget, right? That not until you go traveling internationally do you realize, wait a second, do I need shots? You mean, you know, I need shots just to live in the U.S. as opposed to traveling to some, you know, Ethiopia or some foreign country where they may not have the best health systems? And the answer is yes, there are standard adult immunizations, and there's an adult immunization schedule put out by the CDC, and it's updated annually. You know, I want to go through some of those immunizations. We all know about tetanus, and we expect that when you show up in the emergency department with a cut, the first thing the doctor's going to ask you is, when was the last time you had a tetanus shot? But there's been a little bit of a change there. You see, in kids, we used to give something called a DPT, which is diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. Pertussis is whooping cough. The problem is that it wasn't safe to give pertussis in adults until recently. Now they have what we call acellular pertussis, and that's a pertussis that doesn't actually have the attenuated or you know, inactive virus in it. It actually just has pieces of it that will cause an immune response. Whooping cough actually happens in adults, and it happens in outbreaks that seem to occur in a cycle about every 3 years or so. If you've had a cough that seems to last forever, we're talking like more than 4 weeks of coughing, and you have these coughing spells where sometimes you almost feel like you lose your breath, there's a chance you may have had pertussis. Pertussis is a bacteria. You can treat it, but it still has a very prolonged illness, even and a prolonged cough, even with the right treatment. So now with this acellular pertussis, they're recommending that when you get your tetanus immunization, you get it's called TDAP, tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis. You may want to ask your doctor, because a lot of doctor's offices are only carrying the old tetanus vaccine because they haven't replaced their stock yet. This is kind of new. Or some of them aren't even aware of it and haven't ordered the new stock. So currently, the recommendations for an adult are that you get at least one of these pertussis-containing immunizations if you're under 65. And a tetanus shot in general should be given every 10 years. All they ask is that one of those tetanus shots before age 65, you know, after age 18 and before age 65, have that acellular pertussis in it. Now, for women less than age 25, there is the Gardasil vaccine, which is the human papillomavirus vaccine. If you're over 25, it's too late. They don't give it to you. And that is because, honestly, there's not a lot of women under 25 that haven't been sexually active. So it's a little bit biased that they've chosen that number, but that's the number that the research has been done in, so they don't have approval above that. And the point is to prevent HPV, which is a sexually transmitted disease. Certain strains of it put you at high risk for cervical cancer, and that's something you like to avoid, obviously. So for females under 25, now you don't think about that again for, you know, post-teenage years. There's not a lot of people thinking of immunizations, but this is one. Now we should catch these in the teen years because it is recommended as early as age 6. We won't go into all the philosophical and religious debates on whether it should be given to kids at age 6, but, you know, I personally believe that, you know, seatbelts don't make people speed, and I don't think a vaccine is going to make people have sex. It just seems like something that makes a lot of sense when half a million women a year die from cervical cancer, and there's a 25% chance that a teen has this virus. And that's taking all comers. That's not just taking sexually active. If you just look at the sexually active females in their teen years, about half have this virus. Okay, next is the mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine. Now, people born during or after 1957 should receive at least one dose of the MMR vaccine at some point. The other way to go is you can get laboratory tests to show whether you have immunity. Either way, you're getting a poke. Okay, so if you don't want to get the extra vaccine, you can get a blood test to see if you have immunity. The second dose is recommended for people who've either been recently exposed in an outbreak setting or were previously vaccinated with the killed measles vaccine, or anybody that was vaccinated between 1963 and 1967, like myself. You know, that vaccine batch didn't seem to be effective, and so those people need boosters. So again, you can just get a blood test to see if you're immune next time you have your, you know, cholesterol level checked or something, or your PSA checked or anything like that. But that's, again, something that adults need to consider. Okay, next one we're going to talk about is the varicella vaccine, which is the chickenpox vaccine. So again, this is something you can get a blood test to see if you have immunity to it. But adults with no evidence of immunity or no history of having chickenpox should probably get this varicella vaccine. If you're pregnant or you may become pregnant within the next few weeks, you should probably not get this vaccine. Well, you should definitely not get this vaccine. And you need two doses 4 weeks apart. A similar vaccine for varicella has been approved to prevent shingles. So people over 60 who want to prevent shingles could also consider this vaccine. Okay, next is the flu shot, and I think a lot of you were thinking, when was he going to get to this one? I knew about this one. The flu shot is an annual shot, basically, for anyone age 6 months to older. It's considered optional for people under age 50, between age 19 and 50, because those are considered usually very healthy and at low risk for complications. But, you know, I would get it. If it was me, I'd get it, and I give it to my family members. Next is the pneumonia vaccine, and that is really only given to people at high risk between ages 19 and 65. Okay, if you're medical personnel, you work in a nursing home, for example, you work in a jail, a college student might want to consider this as well when you're living in a dorm situation or a new Army recruit. But for the most part, it's semi-voluntary for the pneumonia vaccine and probably not all that necessary for most people that aren't at high risk between age 19 and 65. 65 or over, you should get one dose of the pneumonia vaccine, pneumococcal vaccine. And a lot of people ask me, when do you need to repeat this? And as of right now, there's no evidence that you do need to repeat it. So it's a single-time event. Okay, then there's the next two are hepatitis A and B. They have different schedules. A has two doses, B has three doses, and these, again, are only for people at risk. But, you know, for hepatitis A, I live in Southern California. We're very close to the Mexican border, and I recommend that everybody get that because a lot of people do go on trips to Mexico, and then suddenly you are in the higher risk group. Anybody who is a healthcare worker would definitely want to get hepatitis B. Anybody potentially exposed to blood products would want to get hepatitis B. Definitely, if you're an IV drug abuser, homosexual with multiple sexual partners, you definitely want to get hepatitis B. If you are an avid tattooer, you know, although hepatitis C is more common in that setting, you also would want to get this hepatitis B vaccine. Finally, meningococcal vaccine is for meningitis. It's definitely given to adults that have had their spleen removed, just like the pneumococcal vaccine. You should get that if you've had your spleen removed. Other indications would be a first-year college student living in the dorms, or, you know, in the rare event, you're a microbiologist who works routinely with this strain of meningitis, you might want to get this. Also, military recruits or somebody traveling to countries where meningococcal disease is definitely out there, like they call it the meningitis belt of sub-Sahara Africa. Especially during the dry seasons of December through June, you're at higher risk for getting it if you're traveling there. Saudi Arabia requires this for all travelers to Mecca during the annual Hajj. So if that's something you're going to go do, you need to get this vaccine. All right, so that's your summary of tetanus, HPV vaccine, MMR, mumps, measles, rubella, chickenpox, influenza, pneumonia, hepatitis A and B, and meningococcal vaccine. I will put a link to the CDC website where they list all of these in a table form, and you can look up and see what you need. You could even bring it to your doctor with your appropriate category circled if you wanted to. Just check the website at www.jimdent.md. You'll find that information. Be sure to either subscribe to my podcast on the website at www.jim.md, look in the right-hand column and you'll see the buttons for subscription for free, or you can just come back often to the website and check for updates. Gotta run. Until next time, take care.